Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, magnificent one.
Finally, someone that acknowledges my genuine title.
Well, I that's funny you say that. You know, I was thinking of titles for you this morning, knowing we would be talking. And I was thinking about how the ancient cultures had these elaborate long titles for deities and kings. And, you know, it looks like fun. I had more elaborate ones for you, but I forgot by the time the call started.
And what shall we discuss this day?
Plenty. There is plenty to discuss. And the first thing I would like to say, I would like to acknowledge there are two peoples that have come forth and offered money for this session to happen. This is the second session in a row where this happens. And I mean, this is, and it's unsolicited. So it's an extra special occurrence for me. And these two people are Tammy and Fleur, essence names, Valia and Leticia. And I just wanted to surprise them with a question as we begin for each one of them. I would like to know, what is their genuine gift as focuses? Some of us have asked you this question for ourselves, but I would just like to ask that for these two individuals.
Very well. The first individual, I would say, her genuine gift is the ability to tap into the energy of others and to see what will benefit that energy.
It's an unusual what, you said?
Talent.
And we're speaking of Valia. Okay.
And I would say that she has a genuine empathy towards people.
Mm-hmm. She strikes me as someone with a remarkable sensitivity in a good way.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
The other individual.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the genuine gift is she may actually find this somewhat humorous because she doesn't always do it for herself, but she does actually have a genuine gift to see the brighter side of situations. Or to find the silver lining.
So she's optimistic.
Yes.
Great quality in these times, I'll say.
I would definitely. I agree, a very useful quality presently. Definitely.
Letitia also wanted to know whether her families are Zuli and Ilda.
Yes.
I would have put money on the Ilda part for sure. Having had a few conversations with her, very enjoyable conversations. I have a few questions for others also, before we get into the meat of the session. My sister, she wants to know if last Friday, not yesterday, the one before, if your energy, if it was your energy that was present in my nephew's bedroom where, my sister and him were. Because she had a strong impression of your presence, looking at them through a picture of a dog on a wall.
Correct.
And what was your intention in expressing at that moment?
I would say simply encouragement and reinforcement.
I have a question for Sandra. By the way, I've noticed this over time in the sessions. You yourself are engaging us in a manner where you are much more putting us on the spot of being self-directing.
Very much so,
Yeah.
definitely.
That seems to disturb some people, by the way. But we won't spend time on that today. Okay, so a question for Sandra. Was The Letter from Hell written by Jack the Ripper? I have no idea what this is about, but she said you would understand.
Yes.
Aha. Okay. Very good. I have a question for Adam. He wants to know what is the most significant factor that contributes to my lack of motivation these days? His impression is that it's related to migraine pain and that this wave of migraine might be based on pressure that he's been putting on himself, to be and do more as a person in general.
I would agree. I would definitely agree.
And is there more about it that you might be inclined to say?
What I would say to him is what is significant in that pressure is that stop moving in a direction of denying himself.
And you would say that he does that in a significant capacity then.
Yes.
His follow-up question on that was, how could I motivate myself and free myself from this place that I'm stuck in? I mean, maybe what you just said is the answer to that.
Correct.
To stop denying oneself.
That he has a tendency, let me say in this manner, that he has definitely moved in a direction of paying more attention to himself and giving himself more credit and listening to himself more. I definitely acknowledge all of that. But I would also say that in relation to other people, He does continue to express a tendency to put himself after them. That he is expressing more in relation to other individuals that gives them more importance than he gives himself.
Yeah, I know different people in that capacity. You know, I think I used to be expressing in that capacity too, and it's a long process to move through that when you've grown up in that sort of fashion.
I agree.
Yeah.
But I would say that definitely is a significant part of the situation with him.
And I would say probably it seems likely to me that a lot of that has religious overtones or undertones.
Yes. I would say that it would definitely be undertones.
Okay.
Because it definitely wouldn't be something that is objectively being expressed.
Right. You know, it's not an overtly religious expression, but just that there has been an upbringing with religious values.
Yes, yes. But I would say that also he doesn't connect with that objectively as much.
Okay.
Yes, there is that factor involved, but that would definitely be an undertone.
Okay, so it's not a main factor.
Isn't a main factor.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you. I believe the two of you shall be engaging again at some point. And I then also have a question from Lila. She would like to know, does length of hair have any correlation to psychic ability? Does it play a role in some way?
Nope.
All right, but that settles it.
Yes, I would say definitely not.
Okay. All right. Okay, now let's see. Last time we spoke of me becoming aware of shielding and that action, I was noticing that it was occurring at the level of the green energy center. And as I have been paying attention to that and working with my posture in parallel to that, I began to notice that the pink energy center seems to also be quite involved in that dynamic. I'm not sure if this is the actual dynamic of what's happening, but it almost seems like I take the hit in the green center, that's where the shielding goes, and then some residue or some accumulation kind of builds up in the pink in connection to that.
I would agree.
Okay.
I would also acknowledge you in your exploration and your recognition of that.
Thank you. Is it
is it
a matter of that people who express in certain ways that I choose to shield from, is it that those expressions tend to be directed at the Korean center? Or is it more that I receive their energy and in some manner directed there myself?
The latter.
Okay.
And I would say that in relation to that, that it also is part of you directing it in that manner is associated at times with personalizing.
Okay, I
can't. Not always, but at times it is.
And what is the significance of me directing that energy to the green? Why the green more than another one?
I would say that because of that personalizing, you automatically would be directing it to the heart center.
What does personalizing have to do with that center?
Because that energy center, I would say, generally would be perceived as considerably personal. It is perceived as the center of life. Your life in particular. Therefore, it would be very understandable that that would be the energy center that you would direct to. And also, it is the energy center that you associate not only personally with yourself and your life, but in relation to the expression of love, of connecting, all of that. Not necessarily emotion, but in relation to love and connecting.
There is a particular kind of intimacy that is associated with that center, right? Okay. I think I'm good with this for now. I might come back with some more questions. I'm just continuing my exploration of noticing and then working with posture a lot to reduce.
And how are you proceeding with that, with the posture?
Well, it's just about maintaining myself in a certain stance as I go through the day and maintaining oneself in such a particular stance. Okay, for example, because we're talking about shielding. If I maintain a certain stance physically, I'm not able to shield because it's intertwined.
Correct.
It's intertwined. And so by coming at it from the angle of posture, it also, by necessity, it's like I'm not able to shield. Therefore, I engage the day at those times anyway, where, you know, I won't be shielding, and I'm can feel a difference in the those two energy centers there that we were discussing. And
yes.
And at times where it might not be a situation of shielding or not, if I maintain that posture, it makes me aware of the buildup of energy. And I think that by just maintaining that kind of posture, it also helps to dissipate the energy that has been accumulated gradually.
Very much agree.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It's, you know, body somatics and posture is a very interesting and powerful direction to initiate change in the entire self, I would say.
I would definitely agree. I would say that it isn't something that most people think about or recognize or connect to, but I would definitely agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So I'm going to pursue this, and then maybe I will have more questions later.
Oh.
Little quick intestine question. Would you say that I would benefit from doing a colon irrigation? You know, those assisted washing of the colon that some professionals do? The reason I'm asking is that there seems to be some sort of a heaviness, and there certainly is a lot of tightness that doesn't seem to go away. Now, I know the energies have been intense for a while, and there seems to be a correlation to that. But beyond that, because I've had challenges with you for years with this organ, I'm wondering if an irrigation might not be a beneficial action.
I would express that it definitely wouldn't be harmful. Therefore, could it be beneficial? It could. And I would say that what is the most significant is if you believe it could be beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Well, now we just fucked it up. Because look, that's okay, that's a really good subject, actually, because, you know, us humans, we have formed in ourselves in a way, in a capacity where the trust is on all sorts of things outside the self, right? And what we have been engaging with you is that crossing of that ocean from, you know, the trust outside to the trust of self. And when you're in the middle of that ocean there, it's a tricky place to be. And it's not I haven't found this to be a straightforward, quick, easy process, that crossing of that ocean. Or let's reduce that to a river. It's more encouraging. So the crossing of that river, it's a tricky thing, and it doesn't happen all at once.
I agree. I definitely agree. And I would say that in that, though, it is a matter of realizing that in order to cross that river or that ocean, you have to swim. Which means you have to do something. You can't simply think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, you either are going to swim and then move from one point to another, or you are simply going to continue to tread water, in which you will remain in the same position. Therefore, if you don't want to swim, then it is a matter of recognizing that you will remain in the same position. Now, what does that all mean? In practical terms, what that means is that when you ask a question such as that, and you are asking in relation to something that you are considering, therefore, whatever the subject is, it obviously is something that you have considered and therefore also is relatively important to you. Now, in relation to your health and your intestines, I would say that this is definitely an important subject to you. And in relation to maintaining health with that you want to move in directions that will promote health. In that, asking a question such as, will this procedure be beneficial to you? I understand your motivation. And in that, this is the type of action that genuinely is a matter of your perception and your importance with it. Because in itself, it isn't necessarily something that is good or bad. In itself, it isn't necessarily a procedure that is significantly promoting health, but it also isn't harmful. It is one of those subjects that is definitely determined by what you believe and by what is important to you. Now, in that, understand that doesn't invalidate the action.
No, but just by answering it the way you did, what happens then for me is that it diminishes in my perception, it diminishes the... It brings everything back to me anyway, and therefore I'm kind of left with the question, well, if that's the case, you know, maybe I can engage a different action instead of this one, something more pleasant, and achieve the same effect.
Such as what?
I don't know, but I'm just saying it brings the effectiveness of the outside procedure.
What I am saying to you is precisely that. Such as what? You don't know. You do know about this. You have obviously given yourself information about this procedure. And whether it is pleasant or not is actually somewhat irrelevant. Because in that, first of all, the factor of pleasant or unpleasant is actually a non-factor, because in relation to certain actions with intestines, there generally wouldn't be a considerable amount of procedures or actions that you would engage that you would necessarily label as pleasant. Are you understanding?
Yeah, I agree.
Therefore, in that, that is somewhat of a moot point.
Okay.
Then it moves in the direction of recognizing that anything that you would be engaging in relation to intestinal actions are likely to be somewhat invasive. Not tremendously, because in your present time framework, your physicians move in a direction of attempting to make these procedures as comfortable as possible, let us say.
Yeah, but there could also be something like a fast, say, that's not invasive.
I would agree, but I would also say that that doesn't necessarily mean that you believe that that would be effective.
I don't think it would be pleasant, for one thing. You know.
And I would also reiterate that you wouldn't necessarily believe that it is entirely effective either.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, that becomes a moot point also.
Mm-hmm.
You can think of different actions that you could engage. That doesn't necessarily mean that they are going to be any more pleasant than this other action. I would also express that some procedure that is being by a physician be something that you will trust more. You will trust that the physician knows what they are doing. Whereas with something such as a fast, you don't necessarily know what you are physically doing. You know that with certain procedures with a physician, that they can actually see what they are doing. You can't necessarily see physically inside of your body. Therefore, that presents a question. Unless you trust yourself implicitly.
Mm-hmm.
In which, then, you could move in other directions and be generating the same results. But what I would say to you is, if you were presenting the question to myself about a procedure such as this, then you already have researched it and you already believe that this could likely be helpful. You simply are asking for a confirmation from myself, which I did not give you. I did give you. You simply like the manner in which I gave it to you.
I get it. I get it. goodness. Okay, I'll chew on all of that.
What I would say to you, my friend, genuinely, this is genuinely a matter of you researched, you went in this direction, now trust yourself with it. Because regardless of whether you are engaging a physician or not, you are the one that is ultimately generating the action.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, whatever is successful is being successful because you deem it to be successful.
We still have some ways to go, Elias, in completely actualizing that kind of perception, I think, many of us. Okay. Thank you.
That was a very hesitant thank you.
No, I mean, I'm saying it that way as much for myself as I would, you know, to you. Okay, there's other subjects that I want to touch, but there could be connected subjects that I would be tempted to go into. But part of the impulse for this session was to follow up on earthing, and that we discussed last time. There's several of us have a lot of interest in this, and I've been experimenting, and I go at this point I go to the park every day, sometimes more than once a day, and I'll intentionally engage the ground barefoot, and now also with trees, since, you know, that was a beautiful explanation you gave us last time about that cycle, that electromagnetic cycle with the earth and then the vegetation, the trees. So I can definitely corroborate in my own personal experience that including the tree in that action is increases the strength of the energy or the flow of it, something about it. And it's extremely enjoyable also. I call it tree tasting. I go to a tree, different trees from tree to tree, and I just plug into it and just do tree tasting like that. And I've noticed differences too. You know, if a tree is sick, the output of energy is weaker, and it's quite noticeable. So
that is an interesting perception.
Yeah, yesterday or day before yesterday, I went to the park and I just seemingly randomly plugged into a tree, and I couldn't feel much, anything at all. Usually I do very quickly. So I started to look at the tree and pay attention to the tree, and then I saw that several branches had no leaves, and then a lot of the leaves had black spots on them. So, and that was a maple tree, and I researched it, and it's a disease of that kind of tree. But I still wasn't sure if, you know, is it the tree, or is it me, or a combination of both? What's different from, you know, the other experiences that I had connecting to trees? So I went to a different tree after a while, and yeah, in a matter of a few seconds, immediately I felt that interaction of energy occur, and my legs were flooded with the tree's energy, and me being laying on the ground as I was doing that, I could feel that cycle. which in time just affects the whole body. But yes, it was an interesting noticing that it won't be the same from tree to tree, and some trees have more life force in them.
Correct. Well, now what I would say to you is, what might be very interesting to you eventually would be to connect with trees that are very old and very large.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do have some significantly large trees here in the city. It's a city with a certain history, so there are some old trees. I think probably nothing older than, probably nothing much older than 100 years old or so, but that is already interesting. But I guess you're talking about even older than that, huh?
Yes, but I would say to you that even in relation to one that is 100 years old, that would be significant, and that you will definitely notice a difference.
Well, I've been going for the large trees kind of automatically, so I haven't really experimented as much with smaller trees, but I will be doing that just for the fun of the contrast, the exploration.
I would definitely encourage you and express to you that in that you will notice a difference with the younger trees, the smaller trees, and the larger, older trees. Then I would say that eventually, someday, you may actually be in a place in which you could intentionally connect with one of the giants, and you will definitely notice a very significant difference with that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and if, you know,
giant sequoia or a giant redwood, you will experience a significant difference with them.
They have some very old trees in British Columbia. That would be over there.
Yes, and I would say most definitely, yes.
Yeah. You know, when you reconfirmed Vancouver last session, something in me shifted. I've made that choice inside of myself to go.
Congratulations.
I don't know when, how, all of that. It doesn't matter, but I feel there's an alignment occurring inside.
That is a difference.
Yeah. So when we connect to the trees and the earth, I gather that the feet, they are the most conductive parts of the body to do that?
Not necessarily. I would say that is the most automatic. That is what you move to automatically, but does that necessarily mean that it is automatically the most conductive? Not necessarily. I would say that it depends on the individual, and it depends on what you are doing and how you are directing your concentration. The reason that I say that is because actually, although you walk on your feet, you actually, when you are feeling something, pay more attention to your hands.
Mm-hmm.
You automatically pay attention to your hands and you automatically allow yourself to focus more and more easily in relation to your hands because that is a more familiar action to you.
I will say that I have noticed many different times too, just laying against a tree, just putting my back to it. I also feel the interaction of energy in that way. So, right, it's not just the feet, but I was just wondering maybe that was a place that was particularly conductive.
It can be, but I would say that isn't necessarily automatically what would focus on.
When I ask you about the mats that people use that we plug in an electrical socket that's grounded into the earth. When I ask you that question about these objects, you basically went into a direction of saying that they were focal points, correct? And that was an interesting answer because it got me thinking, well, here we have a very physical mechanism, it's measurable, we see the effects, there's that physical apparatus that's grounded in the earth, yet it's a focal point. I mean, if we go by that, you could almost say that all of physical reality is a focal point.
Yes and no.
I would
say yes, I agree with you in part, but I would also say that it would be very similar to your crystals, your stones. Now, in that, you know that some stones have innate properties,
mm-hmm.
have qualities of their own, which then generate an influence. Therefore, could you express that is a focal point? Yes. But you could also say that it has properties or it has qualities of its own that are influencing. I would say, in like manner, there are other expressions, there are substances in your reality, some that have innate properties, some that don't, some that have qualities and that have their own influences, some that don't. Some that can be used as a focal point, and in that, yes, it can be equally as powerful as something that does have its own innate properties. Therefore, in that, I could answer you in both directions, yes and no. That yes, you could use anything as a focal point, and any focal point will have a significant effect. Because it allows you to direct your energy in a streamlined and more concentrated manner. And therefore, even if you are engaging something with its own innate properties or qualities, your energy is ultimately the strongest energy. Therefore, it can either override or it can enhance the qualities or the properties of some other expression. In that, yes, anything can be a focal point.
But would you say that the electrical systems in our homes and the grid and all that, that's a focal point?
Once again, I would say yes and no.
Okay.
I'd say that is there an electrical field in your reality? Yes, there is. Is that something that exists in addition to you? Yes. But can it be a focal point, and can you use that to in enhancing it? Yes, you can. And that in turn would enhance whatever it is that you are doing. I would say, does the earth itself have, in a manner of speaking, electrical and magnetic lines and a grid to itself? Yes, it does. That is what we term to be ley lines. And they are very real. They are energetic lines that create a grid in your reality, in your actual planet. And in that, in certain intersections, it does create different expressions. Some in relation to vortexes, some in relation to energy centers, in a manner of speaking, some even as portals. And can they be used? Are they expressed in a manner of speaking independent of you? That is very figurative, because everything is interconnected. But figuratively speaking, are they independent of you? Yes. And in that, can they be used by you? Yes. And can they also be viewed as focal points? Yes.
So all of the above, basically.
What I am saying in that, the reason that I expressed in the manner that I did with the math is, do the math in themselves incorporate their own properties? No.
But it's not the object of the mat, it's the relaying through them to the electrical system.
I understand. And in that, can you generate that action and relay them in relation to the electrical systems? Yes, of course you can. And in that, yes, they can be used as a focal point, which they actually physically are. It isn't that the mats themselves are harnessing any particular energy. No. You are directing the energy through them. In physical capacity, yes, but in that, I would also say that you definitely are participating in the flow of that electrical charge in relation to the mats themselves. It isn't that that is happening independent of you. It isn't.
Okay, I understand. But that's what I would have thought, just that it would do that, you know, because the physical components are there to make that happen. But I heard what you said. Reality is tricky, Elias. And words are tricky too.
Or they can be.
Mm-hmm. The magnetic pole of the Earth, I gather that there are certain rhythms and fluctuations in that, right?
Yes, you are correct.
And those fluctuations pertain to both space and time, location and time of the day, say.
Yes.
Is early morning at dawn the time where the magnetic pull of the Earth is at its strongest?
I would say that there are two times.
Okay.
Which say that magnetic pull is the strongest. And that would be, yes, at dawn and at dusk.
Hmm. So those would be optimal times in relation to engaging that magnetic pull through the ground for the purpose of releasing energy?
Yes, I would agree with you. Yes, that would be. At dawn, when the sun is barely touching the horizon,
mm-hmm.
and at dusk, when the sun is almost gone from the horizon. Not quite.
Okay.
Therefore, it is a matter of that time when the sun is barely kissing the horizon line in both times of the day.
And conversely, what about the timings where the electrical output through vegetation is at its peak? When would that be?
For vegetation, there are also two times within the span of a day, which you term to be a day, 24-hour period.
Yeah.
That would be one would be close to midnight. That time framework that is what you might think of as the crest of night and day. In that turning point of one day to the next, that
mm-hmm.
night. And the other is the point just after dew.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, that was one of my questions, too, is that when one is engaging the Earth in that capacity of earthing, when there is dew on the ground, what does, you know, is there a difference in the effectiveness in relation to the dew being present?
Yes. What I would say to you in that is the dew point is quiet point. And subsequent to the dew point is the awakening point.
But to have the presence of water in the contact point, does that aspect of it, does it do
yes.
anything?
Yes. It is soothing, and it subdues.
Oh, okay. Right, which allows for a certain quality of connection.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, in that, I would say that if you wanted to be moving in a direction of a particular type of connection of calm, that would be the time.
Hmm. And I would imagine that those patterns of peaks, you know, in with regards to both the electric and the magnetic, these patterns would replicate. We discussed over a day, but these would replicate over a period of a year, like the seasons, and then over eras and so on, right?
Yes.
Okay. And maybe that can be discussed another time. One of the assertions that people who have been researching earthing have put forward is that earthing promotes optimal blood flow, and that it thins the blood. Is that something you would agree with?
Can, but I would say that would be in relation to the direction of the individual.
Okay, so that's a variable that can be affected, but not necessarily automatically. I think you said correct, right?
Yes,
okay.
Correct.
Okay, sometimes there's a little interruption on the line. Okay, there's a few more questions along these lines, but I do have a few questions for both Tammy and Fleur, and I would like to get to this now. Well, what about this then? She's also wondering, she's been experiencing a tightness or stiffness in her upper back, and that for a few months. It's between the shoulder blades. She's wondering if there might be some relation to that unraveling / untangling work with Jens, Tomkin, and Tara.
Yes.
Okay. And yes. Is that, would you qualify that as it's normal, or is that a more of a problem?
I would say that understandable.
Would you say that as she continues this work, this might resolve itself?
Yes.
Okay. So this is probably a temporary situation. She was also wondering whether that stiffness, there was also the affectingness of the energies that, like the changes that are all around her.
Definitely that contributes to it.
Yeah, we're all kind of sensitive to what's going on right now, I think.
Definitely, most definitely. I would say even individuals that appear to be quite oblivious are being affected.
Mm-hmm. Lastly, for Fleur, Letitia, she was wondering if you could comment on the energetics of the White Mountains in New Hampshire. She spends a lot of time there. don't have a more precise question than that, but is there something you could say about those mountains, the energetic quality of them?
I would say yes. I would say that they are very promoting of life. Therefore, they also can incorporate significant healing properties. These mountains are somewhat interesting. In like manner to some other mountains in your world, but what is significant about these mountains is that they are considerably composed of granite, but they sustain tremendous life. They maintain and sustain tremendous forests.
So they express that in a capacity that is unique to them in contrast to certain other mountainous areas.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. As they are very, very rocky. They are very much composed of granite.
What are the properties of granite?
Repeat?
What are the properties of granite?
Granite is a very hard stone. And it is an interesting composition. It is very pliable and usable, because it can be broken down into sand and powder. It can also be composed in a manner that is very similar to diamonds.
Yes, but I mean, like, energetically, you know how we've asked you over the years about the energetic properties of stone? What would you say for granite?
I would say life.
Ah. Okay.
I would say properties of granite are enhancing life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wow. Thank you.
You are welcome.
I have two questions from Tammy. First, a set of validations in relation to her exploration of earthing. She has been noticing that her eyesight is improving on a daily basis. She fell while using the bike, and it hit her left shin, but there was no bruise. And she ascertains that this is due to earthing, her impression is that this is due to earthing, and her connecting to trees also, you know, for a significant amount of time every day. And she will feel the heat and the intensity where the wound is below the skin, but there's barely no bruising. So she's wondering if those noticings of her in relation to that bruise, to her eyesight, if that is indeed that her engaging of the earth and the trees is what is behind that.
Yes.
Okay. And she's also wondering, her husband has a cyst on the right thumb, and he's placing that directly on the earth. And they're wondering whether, if over time, this can help to significantly disperse the energy of that manifestation.
I can, yes.
And I don't know the rest of the details or the situation, but if her husband does that for a significant amount of time, let's say every day, would you consider, given the other parameters involved, that in of itself might be enough for this situation to not be further problematic?
That is also definitely a possibility, yes.
Okay, so it is within a realistic range for that individual to engage that action and achieve the kind of results that would be desired here. I think the line cut again. You said yes?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Okay. Last time I asked you about Egyptian statues that, you know, they're often depicted with the left foot forward, and you confirmed that that was an intuitive stance, a stance that not only depicts but actually expresses an intuitive disposition in with the body consciousness. The fact that they displayed that so much in their art, it makes me wonder, was that an actual practice, in a manner of speaking, in ancient Egypt, that Egyptians with that awareness would place themselves intentionally in that posture for that purpose? Or was it more a case of this was cultural imagery in art?
Both.
Okay, boat. So what would be an example of, I don't know, an Egyptian, I guess there's a variety of examples, but like what would be a typical situation where an Egyptian would put that left foot forward as he or she was engaging a certain action, situation, expression? What was it commonly used for?
I would say that it was very commonly used, that in that, very similar to how many of you use a pendulum to listen to your intuition, to receive an answer. They would use that action. Therefore, they would use that action on a daily basis.
And typically, like if somebody takes that stance, would you say it creates an immediate disposition, or it takes a while, or?
I would say almost immediate.
And it makes enough of a difference that they put all that importance on it. You said yes?
Yes, correct.
Okay. So it was also common people, not necessarily only like the priesthood and...
Correct, yes. Okay. It would have... And everyone, the common individual, yes.
So it was commonly known. Okay.
Yes.
And the fact that they're always also depicted barefoot, you had confirmed they were aware of what we call earthing. So that also was an actual practice, or is that's how they lived anyway? They were most of the time were barefoot anyway, or was it also the subject of a dedicated practice, time set aside to do that, say?
I would say that for the most part, they were expressing barefoot anyway.
So it was integrated in their lifestyle.
Definitely. Okay. I would say that, yes, that was a part of it, but it also was definitely their cultural expression. They didn't require wearing shoes. I would say that this is a common expression in relation to most of the indigenous peoples of that continent.
Right.
It has always been a very common expression that in relation to the land formation and the weather, it wasn't tremendously necessary to wear shoes.
And those, we've talked about this before, a lot of these, the pharaoh statues, they're seen holding cylinders in each of their hands. And we had discussed how these were made of different metals and stones to accomplish certain effects. It created a certain flow of energy in the body. Some people call them pharaoh wands or wands of Horus. And when I had asked you about what would be ideal metals to accomplish regeneration using those kinds of stones or materials in that formation of those cylinders, you had said gold and silver. Then I ask you about what would be alternatives in terms of stones, and you said agate and opal. So I'm wondering, with regards to regeneration, what kind of agate and what kind of opal?
I would say for agate, red. For opal, it could be any. It could be a fire opal, or it could be the usual green and blue flecked opals.
And what would be alternative metals to gold and silver for the same purpose?
Alternative metals. If you were using an alternative metal, what I would say is it would require more energy.
Yep.
Because it would require more focus, but because gold and silver are very pliable. But I would say, as alternatives, perhaps nickel and copper.
Okay. So the strength of those metals would be less than gold and silver, but they could also accomplish in relation to regeneration. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a store here in Montreal that is selling these kinds of cylinders. One is made of shungite. It's promoted as the yin, the feminine polarity, and then they got steatite, also known as soapstone, as the other one, which that one is promoted as the other polarity, the masculine one. Given those materials, what would you say these would do in terms of interaction with the body consciousness, or what kind of energy would they promote?
In relation to regeneration?
No, not necessarily. What would they do in that kind of configuration to use these two stones as cylinders in one of each hand?
I would say that the masculine one would promote actually, they would each promote what you would expect. The masculine would promote strength, and the feminine would promote intuitive.
So the shungite has properties that would lend themselves to enhance intuitive?
Yes.
And the soapstone is more outputting in the other direction? Okay. These Egyptian statues, they show, you know, a lot of the times these individuals barefoot with the left foot forward and holding those cylinders all at the same time. So I guess the question is, those wands, those cylinders, they were being used in conjunction with that left foot forward stance?
Not always.
Okay.
So, I would say that is simply the traditional expression of how the artist depicts the individuals in general.
So it was a cultural amalgamation there that combined those elements.
Yes.
Okay. Some of those cylinders were hollow, right? And they had inclusions like meteorite materials?
Sometimes, not always.
Okay.
But yes, sometimes they were.
I gather that it doesn't matter if the such cylinders are polished or unpolished. The contact point with the skin doesn't really matter.
Correct.
Okay. I believe we are done.
Very well. And I shall be anticipating our next meeting.
Me too. As always, it was a...
You may offer my greetings to the other individuals that participated in this conversation.
Yes, certainly. And they will get to hear it too. It certainly was a thrill for me to converse with you in this manner so soon after the previous one.
I express tremendous encouragement to you, my friend, and shall be anticipating our next meeting in tremendous love to you, as always. Au revoir.
Au revoir.